Today is May 11th, year 2008, and is Pentecost Sunday. Come, O Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle on them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Ghost didst instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in thy consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. That's the prayer us Catholics pray to gain inspiration from the Holy Ghost so that he may guide us in all our ways, in all our thoughts, in all that we do. And as I always say, if the Holy Ghost is not your nearest and dearest friend, then you're in trouble, because that's all our goal in life, is to make the Holy Ghost our nearest and dearest friend so that he may dwell within us. That means we're in a state of grace. And only Catholics can be in a state of grace. But not all Catholics are in a state of grace. You have bad Catholics. And as I say many times, most Catholics end up going to hell because they're bad, which means they're in mortal sin. They're immoral. Now, if a Catholic falls into heresy, he's no longer a Catholic. He's outside the Catholic Church. Everybody who's outside the Catholic Church is either guilty of original sin, and in the case of Protestants where they were validly baptized, or heretics, so they're also guilty of the mortal sin of heresy, which are sins against the Catholic faith. That's what places them outside the Catholic Church. And anybody who commits sins against the moral commandments, those are also mortal sins that place your soul place your soul in a state of damnation. That's how Catholics, if you are in a state of grace, the way you lose that is by mortal sin. Now, we read in the reading today in John 14, Jesus tells us that our goal in life is so that he will dwell in us through the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is dwelling in us, that's God dwelling in our souls, purifying us. And he says it right here in Matthew 14. He says, and that time Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone loved me, he will keep my word. And that's proof that you love God, that you obey his commandments. It's no good to just keep saying how much you love God, but if you don't obey his commandments, you really don't love God at all. You love your own conception of God. You love a different God. You love a God of your own making, who allows you to go on sinning, who allows you to be disobedient, who allows you to have your own way and disregard of the true God. He says, if you love me, you'll keep his words. My Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode in him. So our whole goal in life is to have the Holy Ghost dwell in us, and when that happens, we're in a state of grace, and we're in the way of salvation. That means if we died in that condition, we would go to heaven. We may have to go to purgatory for a while to burn off the punishment due to our sins, but we are destined for heaven if we're in a state of grace. Now, the Holy Ghost does not just work inside Catholics who are in a state of grace. The Holy Ghost works on all men throughout the whole world. He works upon them to move them into conversion. He tries to enlighten them to the truth. He wakes them up and shows them where they're in error. He tries to get them to see and reject the falsehoods in their life. And he gives them through actual graces and through the inspirations of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is beckoning every human being right now in the world to turn to the true God. That's how we all come into the church, without the Holy Ghost working on us. He doesn't dwell in us and live in our souls, but he works within our souls in a different way. Not living in there, but he still does go in us. He works in our mind. He works in our hearts. He works in our thoughts, even when we're not Catholic, even when we're not in a state of grace, even when we're outside the church. The Holy Ghost is out there doing his work, trying to get men to come into the church so that he may sanctify them. That's how important the Holy Ghost is. And the Holy Ghost, if anybody doesn't know it out there, is God. Us Catholics believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe in one God, but we believe in that one God. There's three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they're all co-eternal and co-equal. They're all the one Godhead in three persons. Each unique three persons, but all making one God. The Holy Ghost is indeed God. And Jesus is promising. There's many scriptures. I'm not going to do that this year about proving the Holy Ghost is God. I think I did that last year, or I can do that in the upcoming year. I want to teach people how important it is and what the Holy Ghost promises to give you. He promised to give you his seven gifts. The seven gifts of the Holy Ghost are wisdom, counsel, understanding, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord, and fortitude. And when you have those seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, which if in your state of grace you will have those, and then you will get the 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost, which are chastity, constancy, charity, patience, peace, moderation, modesty, goodness, long-suffering, joy, fidelity, and benignity. And all these things is what make you a perfect and happy. That's where you get true joy and true happiness and true holiness and true sanctity. Only the Catholic Church can give you all these wonderful things. And I want to teach you people out there how good our God is, because He's the only true God, and God Himself, how great and good He is and holy He is, and how evil all the other gods are that are out there. Well, look at the world you're living in today. It's a vicious place. If you had all these gifts of the Holy Ghost, it would be a holy place, and so happy and so peaceful and so honest and so pure in every way that it's even beyond our imagination. We as Catholics, hopefully we're here in a state of grace, we get a little piece of paradise on earth in this little group we have in the Mirrors of the Remnant. We do see all these fruits. It's a wonderful thing. It's beyond explanation to people that are living out in that wicked world. But if anybody ever gave God an honest chance because they really wanted to amend their life and be good and have all these great things and come into the true God, they would understand what we're talking about. And that also includes us condemning evil and hating evil and staying away from evil. Now, I want to talk to you, go over the devotions we have as Catholics to the Holy Ghost and explain to you how great that the Holy Ghost is, God Himself, and that how much you need the Holy Ghost if you want to, first of all, be saved and enter heaven for all eternity, and get all these good things that come along with it, of course, the eminently good things. We're going to first start out with, in our missal today, this is one of the hymns us Catholics pray, one of the hymns to the Holy Ghost, and it's called the Veni Sancte Spiritus, but I'm going to read it in English. Come, Holy Ghost, send down those beams which sweetly flow in silent streams from thy bright throne above. O come, thou Father of the poor, O come, thou source of all our store. Come, fill our hearts with love, O thou comforters the best, O thou the soul's delightful guest, the pilgrim's sweet relief. Rest art thou in our toil most sweet, refreshment in the noonday heat, and solace in our grief. O blessed light of life thou art, fill with thy light the inmost hearts of those that hope in thee. Without thy Godhead nothing can have any price or worth in man. Nothing can harmless be. Lord, wash our sinful stains away. Water from heaven our barren clay. Our wounds and bruises heal. To thy sweet yoke our stiff necks bow. Warm with thy love our hearts of snow. Our wandering feet recall. Grant to thy faithful dearest Lord, whose only hope is in thy word, thy sevenfold gift of grace. Grant us in life thy grace that we in peace may die and ever be. In joy before thy face. Amen. Alleluia. Now we're also going to read a beautiful prayer that we pray, which is a prayer that Catholics should pray before Mass prayers, and you can even pray it at other times. And explains to you people out there all the great gifts the Holy Ghost gives you. And just keep in your mind, only the Catholic God can give you this. And the Holy Trinity is the Catholic God. And I don't see how anybody, after I'm done reading these things, could not want to have these gifts, you know. But the problem is, even though you say you want to have them, you don't want to do what's necessary to obtain them. And to obtain these gifts, you have to get out of your sinful lifestyle. You have to break your sinful habits. You have to humble yourself and bend your will to the will of God. And that includes, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, crucifying yourself to the world. Because everything I'm going to teach you here, the world is adverse to, is contrary to this, because it's ruled by the devil. It's in the dominion of the devil. So in the beginning, if you people say, a lot of people want to have a lot of nice things, but they don't want to do the work necessary to get those nice things. And they don't want to give up their sinful habits. And they don't want to humble themselves and become obedient to the one true God. Truly humble. Getting down into the dust and admitting that we're nothing without God. That we all need God's grace and His help to become perfect and holy to be saved. But I'm going to read these things. And I'm telling you, just keep in mind that the only way you're going to get them is by possessing the Catholic faith and coming into the Catholic Church and dying in a state of grace. Now, we're going to read this prayers before Mass. Incline thy ears of loving kindness, most gracious God, unto our prayers, and enlighten our heart with the grace of the Holy Ghost, that we may worthily celebrate thy mysteries and love thee with an everlasting love. O God, unto whom every heart is open, every desire known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily praise thy holy name. Burn our reins in our heart, O Lord, with the fire of the Holy Ghost, that we may serve Thee with a chaste body and please Thee with a clean heart. We beseech Thee, O Lord, that the Comforter who proceedeth from Thee may enlighten our minds and lead us into all truth, as Thy Son hath promised. We beseech Thee, O Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost may be with us, mercifully cleansing our hearts and defending them from all harm. O God, who didst teach the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Ghost, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation. Cleanse our thoughts, we beseech Thee, O Lord, by Thy visitation, and when our Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son, shall come, He may find within us a dwelling prepared for Him, who liveth and reigneth with Thee, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, God, world without end. Amen. And us Catholics pray that prayer, especially before Communion and before Mass, because we're not allowed to receive the Holy Eucharist unless we're in a state of grace. We're not allowed to receive the precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ unless we make our soul as a worthy dwelling place for Him, which means the Holy Ghost has to be our nearest and dearest friend dwelling within us. Only then are we allowed to receive the Holy Eucharist. If we receive it and we're not in a state of grace, and especially if we know we're not in a state of grace, it's sacrilege. Either way, it's an insult and sacrilege. It's a sacrilege either way. It's even worse if you know you're not in a state of grace and do it. But even those people who pretend and think they're in a state of grace and aren't, like all the people right now today that are going to Mass throughout the world, and all the Vatican II churches and the traditionalist churches and the Sede Vacantis heretic chapel churches where they're holding on to one or more heresies or committing sins of sacrilege. They're accepting into they're eating the precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ and put it into a defiled vessel. That's one of the worst sins we're taught that Catholics can ever commit. It's a sin of sacrilege. Okay, and that's happening. Now, that's it happening in the Vatican II churches wherever they have valid Masses. And it's happening in all the traditionalist chapels and all the Sede Vacantis chapels. They have valid Masses, but they're all heretics. So they're not receiving worthily. But that's the prayer we pray before Mass, to ask the God through His Holy Ghost to give us all these good gifts, to cleanse our thoughts, to open our mind. Look at all the insanity in the world out there, the hatred and the anger and their unruly passions. They can't control their thoughts. They're one day they're crazy, one day they're elated, the next day they're depressed, they can't control themselves even. They can't control their thoughts, they can't control their mind, they can't control their hearts. It's a chaos out there without the true God. So you can understand the great gifts that await you if you really want to be a Catholic and you want to save your soul and you want to have all these good things as only Catholics can do. Yes, in the beginning it's going to be difficult for you to come out of your sinful habit. Just like anybody who's addicted to drugs or heroin, whatever drug it is, how bad it is to be addicted to those drugs. When you even know it, it torments you 99% of the time for that 1% of pleasure. You know that's evil. They even know it's evil, but they can't stop it. But they know if they can come out of it and break that habit, they would be happy for it. It's the same thing with all sin, even though it's not as dramatic in the carnal way that you can see it. They're fornicating. Same type of thing. It's a great evil. Anybody who's addicted to fornication knows that in their life. All the filthy, disgusting, dirty things that they do. Sneaking around and hurting people and one another. Abusing one another's flesh in such an obscene, disgusting manner. They all know that that's evil. Even in their heart of hearts, if they were to think about it, they can't completely bury the shame, the guilt of their sin. This is a horrible, horrible slavery that you put yourself under. And only by becoming a Catholic and becoming a good Catholic can you hope to get yourself completely free from all sins and get these gifts that we're talking about. I would tell all non-Catholics out there that are listening to this sermon, which almost everybody who's listening to it isn't Catholic. The only time God will hear your prayers, if you come to Him humbly and say, I'm confused. I don't know if I'm in the right religion. I don't know if I believe in the right God. Even those who don't believe in the Holy Trinity could even say to Him, I don't even know for sure, Holy Ghost, if You are God. I'm not quite sure. I'm confused. Can You help me? And then God will hear that prayer. He will answer you if you pray in that manner. Searching. Admitting to Him that you're lost. Admitting to Him that in your current condition, whatever religion you belong to, whatever God you're worshiping, say, I'm not quite sure if I'm doing the right thing, Lord. My God might not be the true God that I'm worshiping. The church that I'm attending Mass at might not really be a Catholic church. I might be a heretic myself for holding on to heresies. Protestants saying, you know, I always doubted if the Lutherans and the Protestants could be right because they're always in chaos, confusion. They believe all different doctrines and they keep changing their beliefs. If you're all hearing me right now, I'm telling you, you could pray this prayer with that intention and ask God to help you, to show you that the Catholic God is the true God. And He will answer your prayer. if you pray to him in that manner. But God never answers the prayers offered up in the spirit of a false religion or to false gods. He never hears those prayers. Never. All the Protestant prayers offered up to God are meaningless. Fall on dead ground or an abomination. All the Jewish Talmudic Jewish prayers, meaningless. All the Buddhist prayers, meaningless. They don't even make it to God. They're an abomination to God. The only time God hears the prayers of non-Catholics is when they're lost. They admit that they're lost. They're confused. They're in chaos. And they're searching, truly searching. Then he hears those prayers only. And then we'll end this sermon with the other hymn that we sing to the Holy Ghost, which is the Veni Creator Spiritus. Come, O Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and in our souls take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made. Great Paraclete, to thee we cry, O highest gift of God most high. O font of life and fire of love, and sweet anointing from above, thou and thy sevenfold gifts are known, the finger of God's hand we own. The promise of the Father thou, who does the tongue with power endow, kindle our senses from above, and make our hearts overflow with love. With patience firm and virtue high, the weakness of our flesh supply. Far from us drive the foe we dread, and grant us thy true peace instead. So shall we not with thee for guide, turn from the path of life aside. O may thy grace on us bestow, the Father and the Son to know, and thee through endless times confessed, of both the eternal Spirit blessed. O glory while the ages run, be to the Father and the Son, who rose from death, the same to thee, O Holy Ghost, eternally. Amen. And I will end the sermon here and thank the Holy Ghost for all the great gifts he's given us in this past year, without which we can do absolutely nothing and not even think one good thought. And we pray that we may be worthy of it in the upcoming year. And if for some reason we may tend to fall away, may he have mercy upon us and stay with us and push us back into the right direction, as he's been doing all along. Thank you, Holy Ghost, hopefully our nearest and dearest friend, and we pray for all the non-Catholics in the world out there today, that you may continue to work with them, and may God have mercy upon them and call them into the true Catholic Church, the teachings of which you can only find on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us. I know of no other place in the entire world where the Catholic Church faith is being taught, or where the Catholic Church is now visible. And it's only with a small group of people here and Mary's little remnant. And that's the fact of the matter. I've been preaching it to you people now for many years. It's the prophecies being fulfilled. Our Lord said these days would come in which we'd be reduced to a handful. And here we are. Okay, so we pray in a special way that the Holy Ghost will still continue. We'll go out there in a special way this year, converting goodwill souls known to him and bringing them into the true church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.